Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Every once in a while, we gotta the religious people.
There are 720 churches in Charlotte. I'm sure we can find one where you can stuff your face.
Shut up. Quit pointing out the problem.
Men will be proud, arrogant, abusive. You watch some of today's rock star pastors, and you will see every characteristic Paul listed played out in vivid detail on the church stage.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, me neither, Elvis. Oh, me too, Elvis. They never told me that, I'll be honest with you. In lovely Oklahoma. This is Wretched Radio. Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain, where we will seek to answer the profound and unresolved question, why did Elvis Presley sing an obscure Three Dog Night song in his 1972 concert tour? That's what we're going to be unraveling here in Oklahoma, amongst other things, as we visit Oklahoma University and Oklahoma State University. Looking forward to engaging with students, I hope, in a way that's different. Been to the campus enough times to know what the hot button issues are. And the hot button issues these days are going to be the life issue. Happy to chat about it. They're going to want to talk about gender, sexuality, the trans issue, because they've heard on the internet that God is just a cosmic killjoy. Well, I'm going to try to engage with the students, I hope, on a different level. Are we going to talk about the life issue? Yeah. And we'll talk about sled, size, level of development, environment, degree of dependency. Will we talk about genders? Sure. Will we talk Romans 1? Absolutely. 1 Corinthians 6. All things about the homosexuality issue, which I think for Ray Comfort, when he was with TPUSA in California, it came up over and over again. It's the issue that is being bandied about on the internet to make God look like a drag. Hey, love is love. And if somebody just wants to love one another, how could God possibly be opposed to that? And the answer to that question that I hope to bring is because God not only knows better, but he offers better. Everything that God prescribes for us is for our good. Why? Because of his character and nature. In order to try to persuade a student that God's rules about gender, sexuality, and life are good, there is, I guess, a presupposition that needs to be created, shared, expressed, and then hopefully persuades people that God's character and nature is awesome. It's like the best. Now that we know that, let's take a look at his rules, and here's what we can conclude. If God is that good, then you can know for a fact that what he prescribes for us is the best. And while your body might rebel against it and say, no, I want what I want, here's what we can know based on God's character and nature. It's not what is best for you. I know. You think that it feels best. But the reality is, the sovereign God, who is kind, benevolent, good, generous, loving, truthful, only wants the best for you. And so he codified what is best for you in the Bible, and this is what it says. This is how you're to use your body. This is how you're to think about your body. And you can know that that's the best way to go because God is the best entity in the universe. That's going to be my task. As we engage with the students at Oklahoma U and Oklahoma State University, amongst other things, would like, for instance, believe it or not, to talk to them about, all right, Jimmy, you'll never guess. I was going to have you guess, but you'll never guess what I want to talk to the students about. You're right. You couldn't guess it. Their parents.
Oh.
I want to talk to them about their parents because it's It's an issue that isn't, I would say, a hot button issue because it's not challenged on the campuses. In fact, all that they do on the campuses is they try to indoctrinate students into thinking their parents are terrorists. Their parents are awful. Their parents, they're the shackles that must be cast off if they're going to be liberated and have freedom. And I want to show them that the best liberation that they can have is to continue honoring their father and mother because it's a commandment with a promise that it might go well with you. Then that you shouldn't be ghosting your parents. Don't cut them off. No, don't think that they're terrible. Now, okay, it's always got to be said. There can be some parents. They are indeed terrible. They exist. Short of being physically abusive or sexually abusive, most parents, and certainly most Christian parents, they're just doing their best. You know, you wonder, there's this current trend these days of kids ghosting their parents. It's just everywhere. And it's shattering families. And you can't help but wonder, do you think they might get it when they actually have kids there of their own? Do you think they might put that together? I hope so, because this trend is widespread and it's pernicious. All right, here's an example of what I'm talking about. This is from the New York Times. It's called The Ethicist. This person apparently is the person, it's Kwame Anthony Appiah. I don't quite get the Anthony in there. But the question is, the headline reads, "My relative insulted my trans fiance. Do I have to tolerate her intolerance?" Well, if you think that intolerance is always bad, then of course you do. Otherwise, you're intolerant too. But here's the answer that I thought was so instructive. And this is just another example of the current trend. It's not just university campuses. It's aimed mostly at women, by the way, which is why we're seeing divorces initiated by women climb over 70%. Ooh, why? Well, listen to the answer. We don't owe closeness to people just because they're family. Actually, you do. We do owe closeness. Why? Because they're your father and mother, and God commands us to honor them. Furthermore, you wouldn't be here without them. Furthermore, they've done so much for you. Of course you owe them. Isn't that what Paul tells Timothy? The people that do not take care of their family, they're worse than infidels because you have a debt to your parents. But this is that trend of identifying people as being toxic and then building a boundary, cutting them off, ghosting them. We don't owe closeness to people just because they're family. And while shared histories can make us want to offer grace, grace has its limits. Huh. I wonder if he thinks it's 491 times. You're building a life with someone you love. It's more than fair to decide who gets to be a part of that life and who doesn't. Speaking of the New York Times, New York Times bestseller, have you heard about Let Them Theory? I was in the airport in Los Angeles. No. What's the Burbank was the airport for the MacArthur Memorial. What was that now? Wow. How many months ago was that already? And was just looking through the book. Right? It's always helpful and instructive, especially when they've got them labeled 1, 2, 3, 4 based on the New York Times list. And several of them, I took pictures of them. I don't have my phone at the moment, which I'm coping with barely. They're all the same effort to give you permission to cut everybody off that bugs you in any way, shape, or form. The number one New York Times self-help bestseller is called Let Them Theory. Let Them Theory. Do they bug you? Let them go. Do they have a disagreement with you? Let them think it, but don't let it affect you. And this is the book that has been read 7 million times. The woman who wrote the book, I think her TED Talk has been seen 33 million times. This is such a nasty trend. And it's not just women, but predominantly women are drinking this Kool-Aid, this boundary building Kool-Aid where you let them go. And so it's my hope to talk to students about their parents and maybe put in a good word for mom and dad so that maybe they won't buy the trend, or at least they'll be aware of the trend. And the reason I'm going to be able to sneak it in is because we're going to be talking about what I call, I think I'm the only one calling it, but I could be wrong, expressive postmodernism, that it is all about you. It's all about self. It's all about autonomy. It's all about having fun and doing everything that you like. And if somebody puts up any sort of roadblock in your pathway to fun, you mow them over, you just let them go. And hopefully, maybe, possibly, some of them will hear this and say, huh, that's what I've been doing to my parents. And then question if it is right. How do you answer that question? Well, you got to have a source. You can believe the New York Times bestseller, Let Them Theory, or we could go to the higher source who knows better, who says in his word, honor your father and mother. Welcome to Oklahoma. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, can I be honest with you for a second? I see a lot of guys just drifting, just going through the motions, working, hanging out, maybe going to church, but not really sure what they're supposed to be doing with their lives. And here's what's crazy. Nobody's giving you real answers. It's just a bunch of cliches about being a man that don't actually help. But I found something that does help. Dr. Adam Tyson has hosted a Fortis Forum, 5 steps to becoming a man after God's own heart. And it is not what you think. Dr. Tyson does not just tell you to do better. He shows you what the Bible actually says about manhood. Real steps you can take, real changes that start in your heart, not just your behavior. That's what we need. Look, if you're tired of drifting and you want some actual direction, this is it. 5 steps that will challenge you to live with real purpose. It's on Fortis Plus. You can watch it whenever you want. Just go check it out right now. 5 steps to becoming a man after God's own heart. Just download Fortis Plus wherever you download your apps or go to fortisplus.org. Trust me, it's time to stop drifting and time to start living. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Ever feel like you're watching the world turn upside down and wondering if everyone else is seeing the same thing you are? Yeah, you're not alone. And at Fortis Institute, we're not just watching from the sidelines. We're fighting back with truth. We've brought together some of the most trusted voices in Christianity, people who aren't afraid to speak biblical truth into marriage and parenting and manhood and the cultural battles we're facing every day. But here's the thing. That mission, well, it takes resources. And that's where faithful gospel partners come in. By becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just supporting a ministry. You're investing in the spiritual fortification of countless believers and local churches across the nation. You're standing with us in this brave new world. And hey, while you're thinking about it, make sure you download Fortis Plus if you haven't already. Hundreds of hours of biblical content available for you to listen to right now, and we're adding more every day, and it's completely free for everyone. The church needs more than just encouragement right now. It needs equipping. Will you stand with us? Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh, so they suggested we call it personal brokenness. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Maybe spiritual separation? Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. You have to make him one of many meaningful paths. And the call to repent and believe, that just raises a little bit of friction. How about like and subscribe? We thank them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel, a holy God, real sin, a just wrath, a crucified and risen Savior, and a clear call to repent and believe. And we'll do it kindly, clearly, and without the sales pitch. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. You can listen to your heart's content at fortisplus.org.
Books of the Bible. John was a disciple and close friend of Jesus. John's gospel presents Jesus as the Word become flesh, God in human form. He also emphasizes belief in Christ as the only way, truth, and life. God writes so that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, and by believing, we may have life in his name. Believe in Jesus today and have life everlasting. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain. Wow, does it!
And the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain.
This is Wretched Radio.
Oklahoma, every night.
Guess where we are. Friel, help us. This is Wretched Radio. Not sure that the original musical Oklahoma was shot in Oklahoma. Just went to the YouTube machine to find what you were just listening to, whether you liked it or not. And Curly, I think is the guy's name, who's the lead actor, as he's coming with chicks and ducks and geese better scurry or something like that. There are mountains in the background. I don't think they filmed it in Oklahoma, because I'm telling you, oh, flat. It is so flat.
How
in Oklahoma.
Flat is it?
Thanks, Jimmy. You can stand on the prairie, look to the east, and see the back of your head. You can drive off the road in Oklahoma. Don't you panic. You're not going to hit anything for 70, 80 miles. I'm telling you, it's flat here in Oklahoma. And I think that I've made a decision about musicals. I don't like them. There's just something about musicals where it just, they just feel a little, I don't know, musically. Check this out. This is Hugh Jackman. If I didn't tell you, you wouldn't believe me. Hugh Jackman, isn't he the Wolverine guy, the tough guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, here he is.
There's a bright golden haze on the meadow. There's a bright golden haze on the meadow.
See, it's that type of singing that just, I don't know.
The corn is as high as a elephant's eye. Like it's climbing clear up to the sky.
It's affected. That is that the right word?
Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day.
Huh. Who knew? You're Jackman.
I've got a beautiful feeling. Everything's going my way.
All right, but I will say this. That at least the music is nicer. I would say the music that I hear in public, it's just, I always imagine if Vivaldi were alive today and he walked into a grocery store, he'd be, yo, stop that noise, let alone going to like a gym with the thumpity bumpity. Oh, how's about driving by a teenager?
And that's exactly what it sounds like.
What would Mozart say to something like that? There was a something. I can't remember what it was, but it was a something that we were watching and they took a classic song. It's like Vivaldi's Spring, something like that. And then they tried to put kind of a like a contemporary beat underneath it. And it's like, all you do is degrade it. The music was just nicer. Maybe that's something I can talk to the students about here in Oklahoma at Oklahoma State University in Oklahoma. The music you're listening to is garbage. You should be listening to good stuff like, you know, Madonna and Duran Duran, the stuff that I listened to when I was your age. Aha. No, I didn't discover something. Aha. Remember that song? It was 1985. I know that because I just sent a video message to a church in North Carolina that's celebrating their 40th anniversary. And to give it a little perspective, went to the internet machine and looked up what was like the top song 40 years ago. It was 1985. Aha, Take On Me. Wham had two hits in the top 10 songs of the year. They wanted somebody to wake them up before they go-goed or something like that. You know, back when the music was amazing, but if you go back further, the music, it was just nicer. When was the last time you heard a contemporary song that had an orchestra or strings and wasn't just synthesizered? So maybe I'll talk to the students about that, but I doubt it. But there is something that I would like to talk to them about, and it is reflected, actually was written in an article, a lengthy one, by Barb Adamson in the Christian Post, how the sexual revolution freed men and failed women. And this is my effort to try to show God's ways are better ways. I know
your body craves. I know your university professors tell you you gotta be free to be me and live any way that you choose and forget your parents, forget your family, forget your church, forget your culture. Express yourself, which I think was one of the top 10 songs in 1984, but I digress. God's ways are better ways. And this, there's just empirical data that demonstrates the secular humanist worldview that has taken over in our nation is producing rotten fruit. It's devastating fruit for women because God knows what is best. God knows how we flourish the most. If we all get to define how we personally flourish, what a mess. And what a dangerous world we'd be living in. Because if you know what's best comes into conflict with what I know to be best, who wins? It's just an untenable worldview. From the article, in today's sexual culture, young women who aren't sexually active face immense cultural pressure to engage in casual sexual activity for fear of shame, judgment, or social exclusion. Do you want to know what else contributes to that for high school girls? The prom. Somebody was just writing about that it's a social contagion, but I think it's been going on for a long time. I remember seeing the prom. In fact, I think I've maybe shared this before. This goes back 20-some years ago. Mrs. Friel and I were out for an anniversary dinner in downtown Minneapolis. And as we were going out to the, it was a hotel restaurant, and we came to the out to go to the outside, and in the lobby there were all these prom kids are running around, but we had to stand there. I think we were waiting for our car, something, whatever. And there was a boy clearly pressuring this young lady. I mean, I could hear it. Come on, we talked about this. Let's just go to the room. And you could see that the poor girl is like, I don't think. And so I walked up to him. Excuse me, I overheard your conversation. Young lady, that's my wife over there. And if you'd like to get out of this situation, we'll be happy to facilitate that for you. Because the poor girl was clearly feeling pressured. Would you like to know the result of our efforts to try to rescue the woman? She actually kind of looked at me like, go away. Perhaps playing coy. Nevertheless, that pressure has existed for such a long time, and it continues to. Casual sex is now the norm, and young women are fixated on normal and social inclusion. But it has not empowered women. That was the promise, wasn't it, of the sexual revolution? Second wave, even third wave? Express yourself. You'll be empowered. That's why individual women who decide to be involved in that industry, you can't shame them. You can't judge them because they've made the decision and they've empowered themselves to do whatever they want to. That's a worldview being expressed, and it's not good for women. The sexual revolution has normalized a culture where women are expected to meet men's desires while suppressing their own need for commitment, security, dignity. And when birth control fails, abortion becomes the hidden cost of keeping up the illusion that sex can be consequence-free. I hope we get to talk about that on the campuses here in Oklahoma for the next couple of days. That the sexual revolution, you're the victim. You're the casualty in the sexual revolution, madam. When the pill arrived in the 60s, that's what we need, man. We get to just live any way we want to without having to have baby. We want to do the baby act without the baby consequence. From the article, by making casual sex seem consequence-free, it shifted expectation and pressured women to conform to a new sexual norm. Today, the pressure to engage in premarital sex is stronger than ever. And who benefits from that? The dudes, not the dudettes. That's the point of the article. That the sexual revolution, all it's done is benefited cads, individual men who do not want to have responsibility. Women, or the physical risks of contraception and abortion, along with the emotional weight of being told to embrace detachment and suppress your own longing for love and commitment, which is why Taylor Swift is in hot water right now. Hey, hey, you've been singing that song for years. Now you're getting married? How dare you? A study of first, this is a of nearly 500 first-year college women, found that casual sex correlated with clinically significant levels of depression. More than men, they experience regret, anxiety, depression, social stigma, all after the casual sex that they told would liberate them, not to mention the physical, the emotional scars of abortions that haunt them for the rest of their days, the unsatisfied longing, the shame, and the regret. Secular humanistic worldview, it sold women a dumpster full of lies. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortas News Break, a production of Fortas Institute. A Memphis Democrat just admitted what conservatives have been saying all along, and that's that law and order actually works. Representative Antonio Parkinson acknowledged that after President Trump sent in the National Guard to the city of Memphis, people are suddenly getting their vehicle tags, staying in their lanes, and not treating highways like their personal racetrack. Who knew the consequences for criminal behavior would lead to better behavior? The Trump administration's fight against gender insanity scored another victory recently, as airlines must now acknowledge biological reality. Starting now, international travelers can only be listed as male or female. No more pretending there's a magical third, fourth, fifth, or 10th option. A judge in Massachusetts tried blocking the common sense move, but reality has a way of asserting itself. A Virginia teacher has blown the whistle on what she says was her school facilitating secret abortions for students. The woman claims a Fairfax County social worker helped arrange an abortion for an 11th grader without parental consent, which is illegal in the state of Virginia. The girl's uncle only found out when he rushed her to the emergency room for heavy bleeding. Governor Youngkin has ordered a criminal investigation while the school district scrambles to deny everything. Of course, they do, especially in Fairfax County. Well, some genuinely good news. Gas prices have dropped below $3 nationally for the first time since 2020. The White House credits President Trump's energy policies, stronger Saudi ties, and increased drilling. As it turns out, actual energy independence works better than Band-Aids. And the Energy Information Administration is predicting another 6% drop next year if conditions hold. Unless you're in California, where common sense goes to die, you're seeing some relief at the pump. Speaking of education gone wrong, a Toronto area school is teaching 8-year-olds how to get into drag. That's right, third graders at a Toronto area public school are learning that gender equals feelings and being shown videos of child drag performers. One student wrote that gender means you can be both boy and girl. This is the same province where we've heard reports of schools secretly transitioning children without telling their parents. I mean, when you're teaching kids about drag queens instead of reading and math, you're not educating, you're indoctrinating. And Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is in the news. He wants Floridians to actually own their homes, not rent them from the government. He's pushing for a constitutional amendment to eliminate property taxes on primary residences by 2026. And speaking of Florida, they've also reported 17,000 fewer abortions this year, though 33,000 babies still lost their lives. The drop follows the heartbeat law taking effect, and out-of-state abortion seekers plummeted from nearly 3,000 to just over 700. And that wraps up today's Fortas News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, as always, you can download Fortas Plus or sign up to become a Fortas Insider for exclusive daily content, both of which you can do at FortasInstitute.org. Also, don't forget you can subscribe to Fortas News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Physician. Jesus healed many physical ailments during his ministry on earth. When he comes again, he will put an end to death and disease and give us spiritual bodies to last for eternity.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What is wrong with this headline? This is Wretched Radio. See if you can spot the fallacy in this headline from NPR. Are they still in business? People are leaning on AI for mental health. What are the risks? Perhaps you thought the problem was AI. That's the problem. It shouldn't be doing that kind of stuff. It's a machine. It's just bots and things, and they don't know how to deal with mental health. And while I would agree with your assessment of the wrongness of AI being involved in mental health, I, and when I say I mean Dr. Greg Gifford, would say the other problem in this headline is the term mental health itself. We've accepted the term, haven't we? We all use the term mental health. Dr. Greg Gifford, he came into the studio. He's one of our Fortis fellows, and he did a 10-part lecture series called Life Without the Numb, the feeling that comes from psychotropics, that maybe there's a better way to find a way to get off of those so that your heart can actually be transformed. Not just what you think is your brain being chemically tinkered with, but your heart being changed. And you can find this entire series for free at fortisplus.org. It's free. So is the study guide. I encourage you to consider using this in Sunday school. It is eye-opening. And one of the eyes that gets opened, I don't know that that actually made sense, but what people will hear is, hey, the problem isn't just AI mental health. And then the AI in the mental health component, it's mental health itself. That's the problem.
So grab your Bible and go to 3 John with me. There is a category that all of us are aware of. Mental health. Mental health awareness. Mental health holidays. Some of you get those at work. Hallelujah. I'll talk about them more in a little bit. The APA, the American Psychiatric Association, describes good mental health as a state of mind characterized by emotional well-being, good behavioral adjustment, relative freedom from anxiety and disabling symptoms, and a capacity to establish constructive relationships and cope with the ordinary demands and stresses of life. Okay, a couple of things to note. Health, we're using medical terminology for your mind, health. Which aspect of these are medical realities? Let me read you just a couple of them again, right? Mental health is a state of mind characterized by emotional well-being. Are our emotions in our body? Are they? Do our bodies generate our emotions? Behavior adjustment? Is that a medical issue? Freedom from anxiety and disabling symptoms? Or the ability to develop and establish constructive relationships or cope with the ordinary demands and stresses of life. Which one of those are medical issues? Just pause for a second as a discerning Christian and say, wait a minute. The APA, one of the leading mental health, this is the leading psychiatric association in America. This isn't like backwoods blog, WordPress.com that Greg found a quote from. The leading organization is saying that mental health is all of these immaterial things. Interesting. Focus on your mental health. But is health the best way to describe all of those things? Is medical terminology the best way to describe your emotions being good, being able to interact with other people in relationships, not being overwhelmed by stress? Let me show you this passage, and maybe you've never thought of it in this way. I know I had not until I first started researching this. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. For I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. John is celebrating the spiritual well-being of Gaius. And what he says is that I pray that your health may be good. It may prosper. Some of your translations might say it may prosper. As what? As it goes well, or as your soul prospers. I want your outer man to be as well as your inner man. That's quite the compliment, isn't it? We wouldn't want the reverse to be the compliment. We want your soul to be as good as your body. Wait, that's not a compliment at all. Yeah, I want your outer man to be as prospering as your inner man. This is the closest you're going to see the term health used about the inner person in the entire New Testament. Closest you're going to see it. But health isn't used technically about the inner person. It's used about the outer person. That your body would prosper as much as your soul prospers, as it goes well with your soul. You see, after studying through this, I actually had to change a position. A colleague of mine at the Master's University, he and I wrote a chapter called Thinking Biblically About Mental Illness. And in that chapter, I was making a case for mental health actually being soul health. In that book, I originally put in mental health is soul health, and then it made its way to the editor. And who is our editor? Dr. Abner Chow. He's our president. You've heard that name. One of the translators of the Legacy Standard Bible, brilliant theological mind. And when it made its way to his desk, he said, Greg, I'm not sure you're thinking about this term health carefully enough. I said, mental health is actually soul health. And he said, you're still using medical terminology to describe the immaterial. And I said, oh. It was a great learning moment for me. In fact, I had taught at a conference just earlier that year that mental health is actually soul health. But he said, you're still using medical terminology. The Bible doesn't do that. The closest you can see that is 3 John, where Gaius is wished well. We hope that your physical health is as good as your inner person, prospering like your inner person. I'm a flip-flopper. Why did I have to flip-flop on that one? Because the Bible doesn't use the term health to talk about your soul. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4.
By the way, did you ever read the Bible, those verses in particular, and realize that they actually had something to say about what we would call mental health? It's so rich.
The Bible doesn't use medical terminology to talk about the inner person. In fact, when I start to use medical terminology, it gets kind of weird. Honestly, it gets a little kooky. Let me see if I can share with you a couple of things that just feel kind of weird. Do you have a mental abrasion? Thought about that? How come we don't say mental abrasion? Do you have a mental contusion, a mind bruise, a mind cut? Why does that feel so weird? Because we inherently think like, I'm not sure that's a thing. Like, how are you going to cut your mind? I mean, my knife's sharp, but I don't think, no, it can't. And yet when we use the term mental health, it's like, oh, yeah, of course. But health actually infers medical terminology. It infers physicality. How are we going to use medical terminology for an immaterial reality? I mean, that's the question that we have to ask ourselves as Christians. If we're imbibing the secular therapeutic ideology and saying mental health, how are we going to have a healthy medical term, a healthy mind? What does a healthy mind really look like? If you're using that term, first of all, it's confusing because I think that that now is inferring medical treatment, whereas the Bible doesn't use the term health to describe the mind that is well. It uses the term renewed. Aha.
That's different.
Oh, yeah. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. All right. We read verse 17 in our last session. Let's pick up with verse 20 in this lecture.
Before he gets to that, that's what he focused on when Greg was with me, University of North Georgia and Kennesaw State, talking to the students about why they're not as happy as they feel they should be. And he focused on the distinction between mental health and mind renewal. There is a chasm between these two terms.
That's not the way that you learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. Okay, pause there. How did we not learn Christ? If you are a follower of Christ, your mind isn't represented as verse 17, 18, and 19 anymore. That's not who you are. That's who you were. And when Paul writes to the Ephesians, they're not necessarily this stellar church, the exemplars. They're not the Thessalonians, in all fairness. But he writes to them and he says, that's not who you are. This is who you are now that you have learned Christ. Verse 21, assuming that you have heard about him as you were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness.
That is radical. That your mind can be renewed, not a medication to cover it or to dull it or numb it, but that your mind, not your brain, your mind could actually be renewed and made new. How does that happen? Next on Wretched Radio.
Every night at 8 o'clock, the battle begins. Who gets the remote? What are we watching? How many cooking shows is too many cooking shows? Well, I've got news that'll bring peace to your living room. Fortis Plus just landed on your TV. Yeah, your actual television. Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, even that smart TV you bought last year and you still can't program. So instead of arguing over another reality show, you're watching Road Trip to Truth together on the couch. Your teenager might actually look up from their phone and your spouse might find something you both enjoy. Miracles do happen. Every video, every biblical resource you trust right there on the big screen for free. Why free? Well, because Gospel Partners believe truth should flow into every home. No subscription, no credit card, no guilt. Download Fortis Plus on your TV right now. Finally, something the whole family can agree on.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you actually felt something without fear, without shame, without immediately wanting to numb it? If you're living on autopilot, you're not alone. Millions are told the same thing. It's just a chemical imbalance. Hey, take this, you'll be fine. But you're not fine. You're numb. Here's the truth the world doesn't tell you. Your emotions, they're not the enemy. But they also shouldn't be your master either. Dr. Greg Gifford gets that, and his new series, Life Without the Numb, is available right now at fortisplus.org. It's a free 10-week series that shows how God's Word speaks into anxiety, depression, and emotional chaos, and it does so with clarity you've never heard before. New episodes every Monday, absolutely free at fortisplus.org. This isn't about ignoring struggles. It's about transformation from the inside out. Life Without the Numb. Watch at fortisplus.org. Stop surviving and start living.
Revelation. God has revealed himself through many means, including the conscience. God has given each person a conscience so that they can understand his moral standard and their failure to keep that standard. While the conscience can be deadened and twisted by sin, every human being has an innate knowledge of God's law. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is probably something you don't already know. This is Wretched Radio. There's a very good chance that you're going to be annoyed with me. Friel, chance! That's like a daily occurrence with you. Dr. Greg Gifford. Lecturing on Life Without the Numb. It is a 10-part lecture series available for free at fortisplus.org. Step by step, taking us through a better way. And the better way that he's focusing on right now is not mental health. It's rejecting mental health for something better. Mind renewal. And I'm going to share this with you with the promise that Greg is going to show you how to go about the business of mind renewal. But please note up front, you're probably going to be agitated with me.
And now that you are in Christ, it's not like we said last lecture where you're just polished and cleaned up a little bit, mostly you, but Jesus kind of had to help put some air in the tires. We were broken down. We were broken down. We were abandoned in the woods. This new life in Christ means that I have a new capacity and that old man doesn't rule anymore. It's interesting because even the tense that's used here, this aorist is a past tense, so it's happened already. The power of your old person is broken over you. Totally different from verse 17, 18, and 19. Now, verse 23, and be renewed. Where at? Well, the external, like let's put on some lotion, exfoliate a little bit. Verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your minds. What is renewed? Restored back to a mint condition. Oh, what is that mint condition? The image of God. The image of God. Who you were created to be. We are all created in the image of God, and sin broke that image. And what is this renewal process doing? It's actually transforming and conforming you back into the perfect image of God the Father. So what's happening in this renewal process is that your mind is being restored back to what it was pre-fall. It's a beautiful thought, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
In fact, you could almost see it as a reversal, that sin has distorted and now I'm going back to the image of God. I'm reflecting him more clearly. But just to be clear, renewal is the term that's used here, not health, not health. And it's also passive. Who's doing the renewal? Passive. You're being acted upon in this verse. Who's renewing your mind? Well, to be most technical, and I try not to be a super nerd all the time, but to be most technical, I don't renew my own mind. I don't. I might chop the wood and throw a couple sparks at it, hoping that a flame will catch, but I don't renew it. God, through his spirit, is the one that actually renews our mind. When we see the passive voice used both here and in Romans 12, 2, it's a reminder that we don't do this thing on our own. I wish it were that easy. Hey, Greg, read 10 chapters of the Bible a day and you'll have a renewed mind. It's like, okay, I need some time off, but we'll make it happen. God's spirit is the one who restores us back to that mint condition. But what's the term? Christians, what's the term? It's not health. Not health, it's renewal. If you want to think biblically about how the mind changes, you use the term renewed. Okay. All right, but what about health? Can we just use it as an alternative? I mean, could that work as well? Well, technically, you are confusing medical terminology with the transformative work of God in your life, if you're using that term health. And as I will show you here in a second, you're distracting yourself from what the Spirit of God is actually doing. Mental health, as I just read for you in the definition, talked a lot about emotions, freedom from anxiety, but it didn't say anything about being renewed back to the image of God. Are we really talking about the same thing here if we're using mental health in the same way that we would say mind renewal? I don't think you are. Let me show you one more. Go to Romans 12 again. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Here is the point. Transformation, metamorphosis. It's used four times in the Bible. And when we see this idea of you not being you anymore, you're made into something new. Romans 12 doesn't say you need a mind that's healthy, but you need actually a new mind to be transformed and made into something else. What makes a mind truly well? Transformation. What makes a mind function as it should? Renewal. Should I jettison the term mental health? Yes, you should. It's sloppy. It's not accurately describing what the Bible is describing here. When I hear a Christian say mental health, you know the little hairs on the back of your neck? They stand up just a little bit. I try not to be Mr. Technical and sabotage all of my personal relationships in life. But I just think to myself, like, you don't get it. There's something there you don't get about mental health. Because if you're using the term health to describe the mind, you're missing it. You're starting from a secular therapeutic vantage point instead of what the scripture says. The most well mind is the renewed mind. So what about all of the self-care methodologies that are recommended? Are you familiar with some of these? Adequate rest, holiday, emotionships, good friendships that contribute to your well-being. There are many ways in which secular therapeutic actually comes up with remedies to help the mind, but you cannot vacation your way to a renewed mind. You can't yoga your way to a renewed mind. You can go on your holiday and have a debased mind in the same way that you did before you left as when you got back. You see, what mental health is doing is actually creating a counterfeit. You're distracted. You're distracted by this. What's important to hear is that many of these self-care tactics are common sense things anyways.
Right.
We'll talk about adequate rest for your brain here in a little bit, or we'll talk about high stress environments on your brain here in a little bit. But when we talk about self-care methodologies, they're actually distracting you as a Christian from mind renewal. What do you need to renew your mind? Scripture. I need scripture. I don't need a vacation. Now, if you want to give me scripture and a vacation, hey, let's go to the Caribbean, everyone. Of course, but I can't stretch my way into a transformed mind. So what if we have set up this whole secular therapeutic enterprise where now we are going to people with an unwell mind because it's darkened, it's defiled, it's still corrupt. We're going to people with an unwell mind and we're actually seeking to get help with our mind. Mm. It seems kind of wacky when I say it that way, doesn't it? Mm. When I say it so plainly.
Oh, did you catch that? You're going to get your mind fixed, if you will, by somebody whose mind is debased. How can that possibly work well for you? The answer is it can't.
How is it that a Christian goes to an unbeliever for help with their mind when the unbeliever themselves has the most quote unquote unhealthy of minds?
That is a statement that I hope would persuade every pastor who might be listening to this to go to your desk, open up the top drawer and take those business cards that have the word psychiatry or psychology on them and throw them away. They can't help with what is needed. I wonder if one of the reasons that we settle for secular therapeutic models of mental health is because our understanding of what it means to be mentally renewed are deficient.
Ooh, Daisy. Christians, it's time for us to jettison mental health ideology. And the way that we do that is by thinking clearly about the mind versus the brain. So when you hear mental health, I want you to reinterpret it. Health is not the best term to use. We're not using that term anymore because it's medicalized. You can have a healthy brain, but to talk about the mind that way, we're not going to use it. It's not accurate. It's sloppy. What are we going to do as Christians? We're going to begin to say, you're talking about mind renewal. APA, you're talking about mind renewal. You're trying to speak into mental transformation. By using that term, what will happen for us as believers is we will begin to connect the dots directly back to God's remedy for renewal. When I say renewal and transformation, it automatically clicks with you because then you begin to say, yeah, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Yep, I get it, Greg. Yep, I need to be renewed in the spirit of my mind. I'm encouraging you not to be Mr. or Mrs. Nitpicky in your relationships. Mm-hmm. Well, technically, you kill every dinner party. You know, it's like, okay, we invited Greg again. We have to deal with this. I'm not saying we want to be overly particular, but I am saying that we need to be theologically clearer. The most quote unquote healthy mind is the renewed mind. So we're not saying mental health. We're not saying soul health. We're saying mental transformation and mind renewal.
That is the biblical way. That is The Better Way, which is actually Libby Glossin's podcast. Now, are you annoyed with me because I said we were going to talk about how? That's next week's episode of Life Without the Numb, available at fortisplus.org. And until tomorrow, sorry about that, go serve your king.